for there is rest.
Where would you be without your mom? When we think of existence, the answer is obvious. You wouldn't be here. Beyond giving you life, though, mothers play a vital role in raising and nurturing children, and do so without pay and often without the gratitude due them. This Mother's Day, take time to thank and honor your mom and commit to doing so throughout the year. And if you're a mother, thank you for the love and sacrifice you have made to care for your children.
Welcome to The Lighthouse, a ministry of Covenant Tabernacle World Outreach Center. And now for today's message, here's Pastor Brian Longworth.
There are some today that say that it really doesn't matter whether a child is raised by a single mother or maybe even by a single father or by two mothers or two fathers. But certainly God knows best. And God designed for children to grow up in families. And God also designed for families to be comprised of and made up of one man and one woman. God knows best. There was a show in the 60s, Father Knows Best, and really our Father, the Father of Heaven, knows best. We need to actually follow His precepts, follow His standard. And today we're going to actually look at the unique role of a mother. And we're going to actually start and actually see why children need mothers and fathers. And we'll cover some of the father side of that in a few weeks, maybe a month or so, when we celebrate Father's Day. But for right now, we're going to talk about and focus on mothers. And so some of this will piece in parts of this into the Father's Day message. But to be concerned with proper child development is to be concerned about making sure that children have daily access to the different and complementary ways mothers and fathers parent. This is from Why Children Need Father Love and Mother Love. And this is on Focus on the Family's website. If Heather is being raised by two mommies and Brandon is being raised by daddy and his husband roommate, Heather and Brandon might have two adults in their lives, but they are being deprived of the benefits found in the unique influences found in a mother and a father's differing parent styles. Much of the value mothers and fathers bring to their children is due to the fact that mothers and fathers are different. And by cooperating together and complementing each other in their differences, they provide these good things that same-sex caregivers cannot. The important value of these gender-based differences in healthy child development will be explored here. A mother, as a female parent, uniquely imparts the life and development of her child, as Dr. Brenda Hunter explains in her book, The Power of Mother's Love, Transforming Both Mother and Child. Eric Erickson explains that father's love and mother love are qualitatively different kinds of love. Fathers love more dangerously because their love is more expectant and more instrumental than mother's love. The following are some of the more compelling ways mothers and fathers' involvement makes a positive difference in a child's life. The first benefit is the difference itself. Children need mother's softness as well as dad's roughness. Infants by 8 weeks old can tell the difference between a male or female interacting with them. Stanford psychologist Eleanor McCobe, in her book, The Two Sexes, explains mothers and fathers respond differently to infants. Mothers are more likely to provide warm, nurturing care to a crying infant. This diversity in itself provides children with a broader, richer experience of contrasting relational interactions, more so than children who are raised by only one gender. Whether they realize it or not, children are learning at earliest ages by sheer experience that men and women are different and have different ways of dealing with life, other adults, and their children. When we look at the way fathers and mothers play, they play differently. Fathers tend to play with and mothers tend to care for children. While both mothers and fathers are physical in different ways than mothers. Fathers encourage competition while mothers encourage equality. One style encourages independence while the other encourages security. Fathers actually play more roughly than mothers. Children need mom's softness as well as dad's roughness. Both provide security and confidence in their own ways by communicating love and physical intimacy. Fathers push the limits while mothers encourage security. But the difference is essential for children. Either of these parenting styles by themselves can be unhealthy. One can tend toward encouraging risk without consequences or the consideration of consequences. The other tends to avoid risk, which can fail to build independence, confidence, and progress. Joined together, they keep each other in balance and help children remain safe while expanding their experiences and confidence. Major studies show that when speaking to children, mothers and fathers are different. Mothers will simplify their words and speak on their child's level. Men are not inclined to modify their language for the child. Mothers tend to be more descriptive and personal and verbally encouraging. Children who do not have daily exposure to both their father and their mother will not learn how to understand and use both styles of conversation as they grow. These boys and girls will be at a disadvantage because they will experience these different ways of communication in relationship with teachers, bosses, and other authority figures rather than first learning them in the home. Educational psychologist Carol Gilligan tells us mothers stress sympathy, care, and help based on relationships. This is in reference to mothers and fathers disciplining different. Mothers tend toward grace and sympathy in the midst of disobedience, which provides a sense of hopefulness. Again, either of these by themselves is not good, but together they create a healthy, proper balance. And again, we'll discuss more about the fathers in a few weeks when we celebrate Father's Day. But today we're focusing on mothers, and God created mothers and fathers. He created the family, again with one man and one woman. And why did he do so? Well, we go to Genesis chapter 2, and we see the reason that God created Eve. And the Lord God said, "It is not good that man should be alone. I will make him a helper comparable to him." Out of the ground, the Lord formed every beast of the field and every bird of the air and brought them to Adam to see what he would call them. And whatever Adam called each living creature, that was its name. So Adam gave names to all cattle, to the birds of the air, and to every beast of the field. But for Adam, there was not found a helper comparable to him. And the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall on Adam, and he slept. And he took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh in its place. Then the rib which the Lord God had taken from man, he made into a woman. And he brought her to the man. And Adam said, "This is now bone of my bone and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman because she was taken out of man. Therefore a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and they shall become one flesh." And here you see God creating all the creatures. And he's saying, hey, Adam needs a helper. So he creates the birds. He creates the cattle. He creates the lions. And he creates all the other animals out there. And Adam is naming all of these animals. But there's no one animal that can be a companion for Adam. Certainly we all have experiences where we love cats or we love dogs, or some people love dogs and cats. Some people, you know, have other types of pets. We've had birds in our house. We've had hamsters in our house. There are certainly other types of pets that people have. And we can see love from many of those types of pets. But that's not the same as the love that is between a man and a woman. And certainly God created Eve. He created her out of Adam's side. So if he would, some people have said if he created her out of his head, that it would be seen that she was above him. Or if he had taken a portion of maybe a toe or something like that, that it would be seen that he was over her. But he created her out of his side so that it would be really clear that she is his equal. They have different roles, and certainly God has created, the created order is for the man to be in leadership, but still he was not to dominate over her. She was his helpmate. She was his helper. One of the things we see in the Bible is we see the care that mothers bring to their children, and really the trust and the faith that mothers can have when they're crying out on behalf of their children. We see this with Moses. Moses' mother, actually, think about Moses' mother. Moses was born at a time where Pharaoh was killing the males in Egypt, the male boys. There was an order that they were to be killed. The midwives were supposed to kill them, but that wasn't happening. So Pharaoh took it upon his own hands, and people were supposed to actually report when they had a male child. And Moses' mother didn't want this to happen. In Exodus chapter 2, beginning in verse 1, we see, "And a man of the house of Levi went and took a wife of the daughter of Levi. So the woman conceived and bore a son, and when she saw that he was a beautiful child, she hid him 3 months. But when she could no longer hide him, she took an ark of bulrush for him, daubed it with asphalt and pitch, put the child in it, and laid it in the reeds by the river bank." And she was really just giving her child to God and trusting God to care for that child. And we know that God did care for Moses, and actually she was allowed to nurse Moses. And then we see Hannah crying out to God for a son, and then ultimately lending him, who was Samuel, to the Lord. 1 Samuel chapter 1, beginning in verse 1. "Now there was a certain man of Ramathaim, Zophim, of the mountains of Ephraim, and his name was Elkanah, the son of Jeroboam, the son of Elihu, the son of Tohu, the son of Zuf, an Ephraimite. And he had two wives. The name of one was Hannah, and the name of the other was Peninnah. Peninnah had children, but Hannah had no children. This man went up from his city yearly to worship and sacrifice to the Lord of hosts in Shiloh. Also the two sons of Eli, Hophni and Phinehas, the priests of the Lord, were there. And whenever the time came for Elkanah to make an offering, he would give portions to Peninnah, his wife, and to all of her sons and daughters, but to Hannah he would give a double portion, for he loved Hannah, although the Lord had closed her womb, and her rival also provoked her severely to make her miserable, because the Lord had closed her womb. So it was, year by year, that she went up to the house of the Lord, that she provoked her. Therefore she wept and did not eat. Then Elkanah, her husband, said to her, Hannah, why do you weep? Why do you not eat? And why is your heart grieved? Am I not better to you than 10 sons? So Hannah arose after they had finished eating and drinking in Shiloh. Now Eli the priest was sitting on the seat by the doorpost of the tabernacle of God. And she was in bitterness of soul and prayed to the Lord and wept in anguish. And we know that what came about from that, Eli saw her weeping and saw her really pouring out her prayers to God. Eli mistook and thought that she was drunk, and Eli actually accused her of being drunk, and she corrected him and said, don't mistake me for being drunk. I'm not drunk, but I'm actually pouring out my complaint and my prayer. And Eli said that God would actually grant her request. And her request was to have a son, and her son was Samuel. And she actually vowed that if God would give her a son, that she would lend Samuel to the Lord. And God actually returned that favor by giving her other children as well. But she actually, and you know, Samuel actually played a huge role in the nation of Israel, including anointing both their first king, Saul, and also Israel's second king, David, to be king in Saul's place. And then you look at Mary, the mother Mary, and you see actually a phrase, and we will look at Luke chapter 2, beginning in verse 1. We'll see that there were things that were happening, and there were prophecies, and Mary actually had hope that those prophecies would come true, and Mary actually keeps these things in her heart. In verse 1 of Luke 2, and it came to pass in those days that a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered. This census first took place while Quirinius was governing Syria. So all went to be registered, everyone to his own city. Joseph also went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth, into Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be registered with Mary, his betrothed wife, who was with child. So it was that while they were there, the days were completed for her to be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. Now there were in the same country shepherds living out in the field, keeping watch over their flocks by night. And behold, an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were greatly afraid. Then the angel said to them, do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be the sign to you. You will find a babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts, praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. So it was when the angel had gone away from them into heaven that the shepherds said to one another, let us now go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has come to pass, which the Lord has made known to us. And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. Now when they had seen him, they made widely known the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all those who heard it marveled at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. And this isn't the only time you're going to see this, but Mary has hope that God will actually fulfill what God has promised. And so she keeps these in her heart to care for her son, Jesus. Then the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen. And it was told as it was told them. And when 8 days were completed for the circumcision of the child, his name was called Jesus, the name given by the angel before he was conceived in the womb. Now when the days of her purification according to the law of Moses were completed, they brought him to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. As it is written in the law of the Lord, every male who opens the womb shall be called holy to the Lord, and to offer sacrifices according to what is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves or two young pigeons. And behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon, and this man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel. And the Holy Spirit was upon him, and it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. So he came by the Spirit into the temple, and when the parents brought in the Christ child to do for him according to the custom of the Jews, he took him up in his arms and blessed him and said, Lord, now you are letting your servant depart in peace according to your word. For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared before the face of all peoples, a light to bring revelation to the Gentiles and the glory of your people Israel. And Joseph and his mother marveled at those things which were spoken of him. Then Simeon blessed them and said to Mary his mother, behold, this child is destined for the fall and rising of many in Israel, and for a sign which will be spoken against. Yes, a sword will pierce your own soul also, that the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed. Now there was one Anna, a prophetess, the daughter of Phanuel, of the tribe of Asher, who was of great age and had lived with a husband 7 years from her virginity. And this woman was a widow of about 84 years, who did not depart from the temple, but served God with fasting and prayer night and day. And coming in that instance, she gave thanks to the Lord and spoke of him to all who looked for redemption in Jerusalem. So when they had performed all the things according to the law of the Lord, they returned to Galilee, to their own city, Nazareth. And the child grew and became strong in spirit, filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was upon him. His parents went to Jerusalem every year at the feast of Passover. And when he was 12 years old, they went up to Jerusalem according to the custom of the feast. When they had finished the days as they returned, the boy lingered behind in Jerusalem, and Joseph and his mother did not know it. But supposing him to be in the company, they went a day's journey and sought him among their relatives and acquaintances. So they did not find him, but returned to Jerusalem seeking him. Now so it was, after 3 days, they found him in the temple, sitting in the midst of the teachers, both listening to them and asking them questions. And all who heard him were astonished at his understanding and answers. So when they saw him, they were amazed. And his mother said to him, "Son, why have you done this to us? Look, your father and I have sought you anxiously." And he said to them, "Why did you seek me? Did you not know that I must be about my father's business?" But they did not understand the statement which he spoke to them. Then he went down with them and came to Nazareth and was subject to them. But his mother kept all these things in her heart. And you see, the mother of Moses placed her son in God's hands. And Moses was one who delivered Israel from slavery. The mother of Samuel dedicated him to the Lord and placed him in God's hands. And Samuel was a great leader in Israel and ended up actually starting the kingship that would usher in the Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ was of earthly descent from King David. And then you see Mary herself, who has a son that really, even though he was her son, she was giving him to the Lord, very much as Hannah had given Samuel to the Lord and as Moses' mother had given him to the Lord as well. She was raising this son who would actually die on the cross for your sins and for my sins. And her heart was hurt during that process. But she kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. And it is necessary for children to have both a mother and a father. Doesn't always happen. Sometimes you do have a father that dies or a mother that dies. But we need to view that this is the best way, is for a child to be raised and children to be raised by both their mother and their father in the house. Now to him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy, to God our Savior, who alone is wise, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and forever. Amen.
You've been listening to The Lighthouse, a ministry of Covenant Tabernacle in Port St. Lucie, Florida. Join us each Sunday morning for The Lighthouse. If you've been blessed by this broadcast, visit www.covenanttabernacle.com, where you can give us feedback and make a donation.
Where would you be without your mom? When we think of existence, the answer is obvious. You wouldn't be here. Beyond giving you life, though, mothers play a vital role in raising and nurturing children, and do so without pay and often without the gratitude due them. This Mother's Day, take time to thank and honor your mom and commit to doing so throughout the year. And if you're a mother, thank you for the love and sacrifice you have made to care for your children.
You cannot win the spiritual battle with partial obedience. You cannot win the spiritual fight with a temporary obedience. You can only win with a total and unconditional obedience to God as He's revealed in the Word of God.
Learn more on Leading the Way with Dr. Michael Youssef.
9:30 a.m. and p.m. daily on WCNO.
Join us every Saturday at 7 p.m. on WCNO 89.9 FM for a special program, Thy Word is a Lamp, where you will hear the dynamic teaching of Sheila Suarez, the fresh manna. Thy Word is a Lamp, the fresh Word of God, children of God.
Thy Word is a Lamp.